If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
There are a few cases that grip the national psyche, like the Delphi murders. Abby Williams and Liberty German, two bright young lives, were snuffed out on a hiking trail in Delphi, Indiana, on a crisp February day in 2017. Over the years, the case has unraveled into a web of twists, dead ends, and gut-wrenching revelations. But nothing quite compares to what's emerging now. A mix of explosive allegations, hidden confessions, and haunting testimony from an ex-girlfriend who believes she recognized the bridge guy as someone she once loved. Strap in, because this story just got even darker. In a development that sent shockwaves through the already fraught case, Connie Dillman, the ex-girlfriend of Ron Logan, the now-deceased owner of the property where Abby and Libby's bodies were found, has stepped into the spotlight. Dillman claims that after seeing the infamous Bridge Guy video recorded by Libby German on her phone moments before her death, she felt a jolt of recognition. "I know his walk. I just had an intuition," Dillman stated in a recent appearance on Banfield on News Nation. "I know his build, and to me, that looks exactly like him. I mean, even the voice, it sounded just like him." Dillman's assertion has reignited public and investigative interest in Ron Logan's possible involvement in the case. Side-by-side comparisons of Logan's walking gait with the bridge guy from the video reveal striking similarities. Both men exhibit a slightly hunched posture and a deliberate, purposeful stride. Experts and armchair detectives alike have pointed out that Logan's gait aligns with what can be observed in the grainy footage, a detail that, if verified, could be significant. Then there's the voice. The recording of Bridge Guy saying, "Guys down the hill," has been scrutinized endlessly. When compared to recordings of Logan's voice, many, including Dillman, have remarked on the uncanny resemblance. Dillman's belief in this similarity is bolstered by her years of familiarity with Logan's speech patterns and inflections. "Even when I heard the voice, you know, it sounded just like him," she emphasized. Ron Logan was no stranger to law enforcement, even before Abby and Libby's murders. As the owner of the property where their bodies were discovered, he was initially considered a person of interest in the investigation. However, Logan was never charged in connection with the killings, a decision that now raises questions in light of recent revelations. Logan's criminal history includes multiple run-ins with the law for driving under the influence, resulting in revoked licenses and probation violations. But it's his alleged behavior toward young girls that has drawn the most scrutiny. Connie Dillman revealed unsettling details about their volatile relationship, describing Logan as manipulative, aggressive, and someone who displayed troubling tendencies. One particularly disturbing anecdote involved Logan selling a horse to a 13-year-old girl who lived nearby. Dillman alleged that Logan was touchy with the girl in a way that made her deeply uncomfortable. "It just didn't feel right with me," Dillman said. She claimed to have reported Logan to the police 3 or 4 times during their relationship, long before she ever saw the bridge guy footage. In addition to these allegations, investigators noted Logan's close familiarity with the Monon High Bridge area. He often walked the trails and was known to have intimate knowledge of the secluded parts of his property. This geographic proximity, combined with his behavior, should have made Logan a more significant focus of the investigation, argue critics and observers alike. Perhaps the most damning allegation against Logan comes from the defense attorneys for Richard Allen, who is currently serving a 130-year sentence for the murders. They claim that Logan allegedly confessed to the killings while in jail in 2017. This confession, they argue, was never disclosed to the defense and has only come to light now, years later. If true, the suppression of such critical evidence could have profound implications for Allen's conviction and the overall integrity of the investigation. The defense's claim is bolstered by a timeline that shows Logan giving inconsistent statements to law enforcement about his whereabouts on the day of the murders. Additionally, a search warrant affidavit revealed that Logan had asked a relative to provide him with a false alibi for February 13, 2017. This attempt to deceive investigators further cements the cloud of suspicion around him. Richard Allen, a man described as a quiet guy and someone you'd never suspect, was convicted in 2023 for the brutal killings of Abby and Libby. The conviction was built on damning evidence: a bullet cartridge found at the crime scene that matched Allen's Sig Sauer firearm, his familiarity with the Monon High Bridge area, and, most critically, a chilling confession he made during a phone call to his wife. "I did it. You know I did it. I killed Abby and Libby," Allen said in April 2023. But Allen's defense team has been hammering away at what they call glaring errors in the state's case. They've pointed to his confessions, which they argue were the result of mental illness induced by his solitary confinement, conditions that Allen's attorney likened to medieval torture. The defense has also questioned the reliability of the ballistics evidence, calling it a tragic bullet that's more circumstantial than conclusive. And then there's the matter of Ron Logan. If Logan did confess to the murders, why wasn't this disclosed during Allen's trial? Why wasn't Logan's history of suspicious behavior and alleged misconduct with young girls given more weight in the investigation? These are questions that Allen's defense team is now demanding answers to. Let's go back to February 13th, 2017, the last day Abby and Libby were seen alive. At 2:13 p.m., Libby recorded a video on her phone that has since become one of the most iconic and haunting pieces of evidence in true crime history. The shaky footage shows Abby walking carefully across the Monon High Bridge with a man, bridge guy, walking purposefully behind her. His voice is captured saying, "Guys, down the hill," followed by what investigators believe is the sound of a gun being cocked. For years, this grainy video has been dissected, debated, and analyzed. And now, Connie Dillman's claim that she recognizes Ron Logan in that footage adds an entirely new layer of urgency. Dillman's statement is not just about the walk or the voice. It's about her deep-seated belief that the man she once loved could have been capable of such unimaginable evil. "I know his nature. I know his property," Dillman said. "I'm just going with my gut feelings. Just the kind of person he is." If the revelations about Ron Logan weren't enough to shake the foundations of this case, the emotional testimonies from Abby and Libby's families during Richard Allen's sentencing hearing are a stark reminder of the human toll behind the headlines. Libby's grandmother, Becky Patty, shared a chilling anecdote about Allen developing Libby's funeral photos at the local CVS. "He watched as we struggled, never blinking an eye, no remorse. I wonder what he was thinking," she said. Libby's mother, Carrie Timmons, spoke of the hole in her soul and the shattered relationships and dreams that have followed in the wake of her daughter's death. "The last 2,867 days have been absolute hell," Timmons said. "Next week, we should have been celebrating our birthdays. She would be 22, and she should be here." And then there was Libby's cousin, Josh Lank, who delivered a searing impact statement. "God doesn't have a place for sick, twisted individuals like him. The devil has a special place for them, and I hope the prison community gets him there faster than the sentence." Here's the thing, this case isn't over, not by a long shot. Connie Dillman's claims about Ron Logan demand further investigation, not just for the sake of Richard Allen's defense, but for the sake of justice itself. If the state did suppress evidence of Logan's alleged confession, what does that say about the integrity of the investigation? And if Logan's behavior and Dillman's prior reports were overlooked, how many other potential leads were ignored? It's easy to look at Richard Allen and see a monster. A man who confessed to the murders, who had a bridge guy starter kit in his home, and who has been sentenced to spend the rest of his life behind bars. But cases like these are rarely black and white. The possibility that another monster, now dead and buried, may have gone unpunished is a sobering reminder of how fragile and flawed the pursuit of justice can be. Abby and Libby's story is one of heartbreak, resilience, and the relentless pursuit of truth. It's a case that has captured the nation's attention, not just because of its horror, but because of the questions it forces us to ask about our justice system, our communities, and ourselves. As this case hurtles into yet another chapter, One thing remains clear. Abby and Libby deserve more than the truth. They deserve justice. Real, unflinching, and complete. And if that means reopening old wounds, confronting uncomfortable truths, and holding powerful institutions accountable, so be it. Because their bravery, Libby for making that video, and Abby for hiding the phone, demands nothing less. For now, we're left with a haunting question. What if the real bridge guy has been hiding in plain sight all along?
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.